are. Yeah, said it. We are. What's up, Q, Millie, Smitty? What's got the up? Gang all back together. We're back from Omaha. What a freaking blast that was. It's the championship series, boys. Tennessee, Texas A&M, the heavyweight fight of all heavyweight fights. How we doing? How we feeling?
Exciting. SEC domination. I mean, I'll just simply put it. The ACC got their asses handed to them by the SEC, the most dominating conference in sports.
You know, I had a couple of hot takes throughout the regular season. I got some pushback from it. I said that the ACC was nowhere near what the SEC is. They are definitely the number two conference in the country. Obviously, they get all the teams to Omaha. They did, but it was a clear SEC. Or SEC, ACC, I should say. Anyways, Todd, after I toot my own horn there.
I just want to jump in here and just say, just remember, Q, Michigan won the football national championship. Just have to throw that out there. But, hey, yeah, SEC domination. And I think what we've said over the year is these two teams, they were there all year and we bragged them up all year. So why not have them the to go best out of three here and see who's going to win this. So good for the SEC, and the two best teams I think are in it.
And I also just realized that when I copied over the stats, the statistics for Texas A&M, while these are not updated to what the three games we've seen so far, those have, I guess that would be Florida State's, copied over. So as I fix that, I'll let Q kind of recap what we did in Omaha. It was a lot of fun. It was my first trip out there. He has been out there as many times as Brian O'Connor. But just we were treated to great baseball all weekend long. I couldn't have asked for a better first trip out there. Honestly, Q had told me, just don't worry about the Razorbacks not being there. You still have to go. And I pushed and pushed and didn't really care to do it. And then I did it, and I'm so glad I did. So we got to run into a lot of big fans from – all over, really, but Darren Williams, the former pitcher for Kentucky, and I'll let Q get into this while I do this, but just an awesome trip.
Yeah, I'm glad you made it out. I was a little concerned when Arkansas bailed out and you went into like this depression. We had to talk you off the ledge, and but you made it out, and it was awesome. You know, I think at least by your actions, I was telling you in the Uber, sometimes it's actually better when your team's not there because it's almost not that much pressure, and seemed like you had an awesome time, and it was exciting. And we saw a lot of walk-offs. I mean, game one, you know, walk-off due to some, in my opinion, poor decision-making. Game two was nuts. Obviously, down 4 in the ninth, Tennessee storms back. What a questionable call, but, hey, at the end of the day, don't give up 4 runs on a check swing, and you still win the game. And then we ran it back the next day, and we had 2 games over the span of about 20 hours, it felt like. And by Sunday, I think that last Saturday night game really kind of took it out of us, but we'll definitely be back next year, and you know, we'll hopefully have the whole crew out there. Smitty, we missed you, and we had a hell of a time at the bars and interacting, and yeah, we met a lot of cool people. Darren Williams, 6'5", middle reliever / closer towards the end. He was awesome to hang out with. You know, obviously the Circa crew, Derek Stevens, the other guys, they were just incredible. The hospitality that we received was awesome. You know, any of the other famous guys we had met, you know, they were nothing but kind, great conversations. And I thought we put some good content out there, you know, with the exception of not having media passes by the NCAA for reasons we won't get into, but
we're coming back for a vengeance.
Yeah, we're coming back.
Nick, thanks for tuning in. Missed you out there.
Yeah, man. Wish you were out there. It was a blast. We'll get you out there next year. It's Smitty, Nick, anybody else that wants to join, we'll figure out a way, because it's good. We're bringing the party.
Yeah, I was out there luckily years and years ago for a good friend of mine was getting married, and it was in Omaha, and we actually went to a game. So I've been there, and yeah, I mean, what a great experience. And again, I've said it to both of these guys. You guys did just fantastic.
It might have been the only city that didn't care about a tornado warning on Saturday, too. That was incredible.
And that is scary, because the first – we were supposed to go to a night game out there years ago, and it got rained out. So we went the next day, And that is, that's a weird sky out there when those storms roll in. You're kind of like, wow, this isn't good. No wonder they kind of call this Tornado Alley kind of area. It's a different feeling when a storm's going to roll in on you.
All right. So game one, we've got Ryan Prager versus what we assume is Stamos and AJ Causey. Who are you going with in this one? This is a tough game. I mean, Prager has been definitely A&M's ace, one of their best arms. They're going to have him pretty fresh for this one. Looking at their stats all season long, these are basically, you know, the number one, number two teams in the field. What do you make of it? I mean, I truly think this is going to be a knockdown, drag-out, heavyweight fight where any team could come out on top. I feel like A&M probably has a little bit more of an undervalued, I guess, phase of how their lines are shaping up right now. College World Series plus 175. I don't really know if Tennessee should be minus 200. This is the second best team or the first best team in the field, I feel like. I mean, are the Aggies undervalued in this, in your opinion? Or do you think Tennessee is rightfully this large of a favorite?
I actually lean to it being pretty accurate. And I say that because Braden Montgomery's out, as well as your clear-cut number two guy, Shane Sadow. And I think it's going to matter in this series. We look at Tennessee. They had to go through the ultimate gauntlet on that side of the bracket, you know, with UVA, UNC, Florida State, and themselves. And then A&M, you know, great story by Florida. But at the end of the day, a lot of people didn't believe Florida was supposed to be there. You look at Kentucky. Matt, I think I texted you that. Kentucky looked tired when they played Florida. And I think, I mean, we saw them out there. They were so emotional, so energetic. And, you know, when you go out there for the first time and you just kind of unload on everything instead of having that experience to kind of lean back on, I think it played a role. So at the end of the day, Texas A&M was on the weaker side. So they were expected to get there. I think Tennessee was expected, but you could also make the case for Florida State. I mean, if they could have had their pitching, it could have went either way. But when I look at this, man, one thing that sticks out is Tennessee is going for 60 wins in a season. And I think they get it. I look at the lineup, and we were out there. And again, you lean back on that bottom of the ninth game, you're down four. It didn't even faze them. I mean, look at the guys that they can bring up to the plate. You know, when Dean Curley and Cal Stark are two of your worst hitters in your lineup, that just really tells you something. They've had some major hits this tournament. You know, Billy Amick's kind of struggled, but he's still a guy that just because he struggles doesn't mean he can't turn a light switch back on and take you 420 deep. I think, and SEC Filtered, shout out to them, they said it best on their show today. A&M wants this thing to be a dogfight. They do not want to get into a gunfight. Tennessee's got just, they're too powerful. I mean, the guns that they can bring to the plate, you know, especially with A&M not having Jace 100%, and then shots kind of nicked up. And then obviously without Montgomery, you really want to have a low scoring game. If it gets anywhere into a shootout, Tennessee's going to roll them.
Yeah. And one interesting stat over Ryan Prager's last three appearances, he's 1-0. He's pitched 14 and two thirds innings. He has a 4.91 ERA and a 4.64 xFIP, 4.11 Sierra. So he's kind of fallen off from what he was all season long. That's going to be something to monitor going forward, because I feel like AJ Causey has been, he's been pretty good in all of his last starts. So I know we kind of talked about with Jamie Arnold being the best pitcher in the field. If you had looked at his last three outings, he had actually kind of fallen off too. So definitely something to monitor. Yeah, I mean, that's like
a long season.
Yeah, like you were alluding to with Kentucky. It's been a long season. I mean, these guys are kids still, and it's got to be hard on their bodies. You're seeing more injuries. You're seeing guys just not have it like they did in the beginning of the season. So I feel like that's going to play a huge role in this, and Tennessee just looks so freaking hot. I mean, if they were going to lose a game, I felt like it was going to be the Florida State game against Arnold, and they still figured out a way to win. So right now, I just feel like this is Tennessee's to lose.
Well, yeah, Smitty, I don't mean to cut you off, but one last point to that. Tennessee had been in their last three appearances 0-3 in their first game. Well, now they get over that hump. It's all downhill from them, and I think I told you out there, Matt, that was their kryptonite, was game one. And then once they got over that hump, it was like, oh, we can beat anybody. And unfortunately for everybody in the path, there's a tornado in Nebraska that's an F5 right now, and it's the Tennessee Volunteers.
Smitty.
Yeah, you know, I just, again, with this team, we've talked all year, the pitching's there, and they can hit. And I think if you look at both teams, they have good arms. But then if you look at the bats, you know, I think Tennessee now, what, they have five guys over 20 home runs, I think, first time ever in history, I think a site put out yesterday. And just too many injuries with Montgomery, the other outfielder, you know, is really limping around with like a hamstring. I just don't think they're going to have enough. I just think Tennessee is, when you look at defense to pitching to hitting, they're just a lot better than Texas A&M. So I think Tennessee, I jumped on it yesterday. I told you guys before we jumped on, I got it at minus 155 game one. And it's up to minus 180 right now. So I jumped on a good number there. So yeah, I'm rolling. Go Rocky Top.
All right, let's get into the final. We were treated with another SEC series pick 'em, thanks to the national championship series. Obviously, the sweep will not be three games. It would be two. Keep that in mind as we recap the final weekend of this SEC series pick 'em. I actually had Q as the winner, and then due to a recount, because that Arkansas math got
this me. Is under protest.
I have 105, 104. Smitty's in striking distance with 97. So we go into this pick. Q, who you rolling with?
I think the Vols get it done ultimately.
In a sweep?
Yeah, I like it. Again, I said backstage, A&M's best chance, I think, is with Prager against, you know, Stamos and Causey. But I just think they're just too tough right now. Again, they're that F5 tornado, and nobody's stopping them. Again, A&M's injured, and that's not their fault, but it's going to hurt them and cost them a title.
All right. Here's where I'm struggling.
I didn't even see what Nick said. What did he say? Yeah.
I have a lot more liability on Tennessee, and that I feel like may play into how I bet this. I probably shouldn't bet it game by game. I think A&M has their best chance of winning this game in game one with Prager, but Justin Lampkin's pitched really, really good too here lately. Lampkin, over his last three appearances, he's got a 2.16 ERA, 2.03 xFIP, and an 0.58 Sierra. Chris Stamos, in his last three outings, he's got an 18.01 ERA, 3.40 Sierra. He kind of is getting blown up, and I know it's a quick trigger for Vitello to get Causey in there. But with this A&M lineup, I feel like this is a race to five. Whoever gets five runs first is probably going to win this game. I would not want to leave anything to chance in that game one. If A&M gets on base against Stamos, I'm going to feel stupid not having a little bit of A&M here, like +1.5. So y'all keep betting Tennessee, get that number up. I'll probably double back on the Aggies here, +1.5, and just root for a tight game, because that's what we've seen in Omaha. I think that's what we see here. But ultimately, I do think the Tennessee Volunteers come out on top. I think it goes three. I think we get more baseball. Love Monday Night Baseball. So, Smitty, who you rolling with?
Yeah, I think what favorites are 11-1 so far.
Yep.
In this, so yeah, yeah. I'm right with Q. I'm doing Tennessee, and I'm doing a sweep 2-0.
All right, for all the roses. Looky there. An SEC series pick 'em. And I'm going to toot my own horn again. I wrote it up in the VSiN article before the Field of 64 played in the regionals. I said the only two teams that fit this championship theory of what teams make it there are Tennessee and Texas A&M. And here they are on top. They were +650 and +600 at the time I gave it out. If you believe in the curse of the number one overall seed, can't win it all. I hope you took my advice and got A&M, but This is why we do what we do. We this is what we get to reap, what we sowed all season long following these teams. Any final thoughts before we get hopefully three more days of baseball, if not at least two?
I just want to give a shout out to Jack Caglione, though, and it's been a hell of a career, and it's sad to see you go out, man. You were a legendary baseball player, whether you're a Gator fan or not, and the game's definitely going to be different without number 14 next year.
Yeah, I can't wait for the draft. I was talking to Q on the phone the other day, and I've been looking at a lot of these mock drafts, and I think Honeycutt's done a great job. Hopefully he's up, because some mock drafts have him around pick 20-something, and I just think that's going to be a steal. More for Tennessee's another one that, man, oh, man, they have him sometimes in the late teens to 20. And, I mean, there's some teams that are going to be very lucky getting those guys at those spots.
Well, for Q, Smitty, and myself, thank you all for tuning in again. We hope to come back with a recap show. James, thanks for hopping in here, hitting a comment before we headed out. 4-3 A&M tomorrow. I don't hate that. It would worry me, though, at that point with Tennessee, because Lampkin has been pretty good here lately.
Hey, real quick, I said this, and I think Q kind of jumped on, and I just – the wind, has anybody seen what the wind is supposed to be maybe tomorrow?
No, probably 15 to 20 mile-per-hour winds blowing in.
Okay.
That's – I feel like it's been –
that's what it's been, except last for week. One game.
Yeah, one yep. game.
All right, y'all. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week for the – final show of the season. Guys, keep blowing it up. Kevin, thank you for the wind out tomorrow. Great season. Thanks for all the hard work. We appreciate you, Ron.
We're not done yet, Ron. We got one more.
Yep. We're going to have the recap show of the College World Series Championship Series probably on Monday or Tuesday, depending on when it ends. Thanks, guys. We're going to go over and hop on Jeff Dawson's show. If you're not done hearing college baseball content, come join us over there. Until Monday or Tuesday, cheers, go Vols, go Aggies. I just want great baseball.